This is a little more informal. We don't have that whole wall of svarim. But I found that people have told me that sometimes this is more useful than the shmooze with all the divrei Torah, just to get ready for Bein HaZmanim. Of course, it's not Bein HaZmanim yet. That's the first lesson, is it's not Bein HaZmanim yet. But we have a dinner and we're, you know, this is the last shmooze, so we'll have a week to prepare for Bein HaZmanim, to think about Bein HaZmanim. And the first yesod of Bein HaZmanim, like the Ruach Chaim says on the Mishnah, Kol sheyir asoy koydim lechachmasoy, whoever's fear is before his wisdom, chachmasoy miskayemes, says the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that whoever's fear is before his chachma means whoever has a plan, whoever thought about, whoever strategized, didn't just go into something. His yira was before his chachma. He first said, whoa, there's a situation here that's dangerous. Let me make a plan. And then he used his chachma after his plan. Then his chachma is miskayim. But people who just go right in, right? It doesn't work. You know, you find guys come home. First Motzei Shabbos. Someone calls you. Hey, you want to go? Okay. Okay. Didn't you realize... And the Rebbe, you're not going to believe it. The first Benes, for first Motzei Shabbos, someone asked me to go, I can't believe I said, like, why didn't you think about that? That was so obvious. You fell hook, line, and sinker. No plan. No plan. So we have to generate a little bit of a plan. And also, I want to, at the end, discuss the setup here for using filters on our phones. We'll talk about that at the end, after we're done with our strategizing, as the last issue of strategy, how to relate to filters, something we haven't really discussed yet. But the first thing is a person has to have a plan. And not just have a plan, a person has to want to succeed. Want to succeed. A Rosh Yeshiva in America told me, he said, or he asked me, I don't know why he asked me, but I guess I know a lot of people. So he asked me, why is it that people are unraveling in America? They come to America and they unravel, you know. Unravel. So I told him something that wasn't such a nice thing to say, but I've seen it. I said, a lot of people don't want to succeed. They're actually planning to fail. Many people, they're in yeshiva, but in the back of their mind, as soon as they're going to go back, they have in mind that it's just a question of when they're just going to go back to what they were. But they didn't have that drive. And we have to, while we're here in this clarity, because it's only clear over here. Over there, it's really crazy. I was just in America. Even to go into a cab, they all of a sudden turn on a screen, and I'm like punching the screen. It doesn't. I can't even figure out. And it's Ayin Venoira that was on the screen. Like, they just shoot it at you. This as soon as I got there. I'm like, what does Hashem want from us? I mean, like, I've been training, for, you know, at least speaking about these things for years. A poor bucker, literally right when you get in there. And they know exactly what they're doing, and it doesn't shut off so easily. There's like a go button, and then it goes here, and then it's an exit button, and it says, are you sure you want to do this? And like, yes, I'm sure. By the time you're done, who knows what's going on, right? But you have to want it. You have to want it here. Here. You have to make decisions here. You have to look at how wonderful the Shalom Bayis is by your Rabbeim, and the wonderful environment here, and how dysfunctional everybody is scrolling all day over there, and prepare yourself to feel that way when you get there. So you have a week to just think about the animals in the zoo that you're going to be visiting in America. Okay? And they really will look like animals. It's unbelievable. In restaurants, they look like animals. And on the street, they look like animals. And it's kedai to just get your frame of reference straight, because it gets very confusing when you're there. To understand what's going on, you have to understand for yourself what you do and what don't you do. You have to ask yourself now, what do I do and what don't I do? Now, it's very wise to do this now, because if your friend calls you on Motzei Shabbos, it's hard to think quickly. I didn't think about that. Do I do that or don't I? Right now, you have to think, where do I go? And where don't I go? Who are the people who are trouble? And how am I going to deal with those people? One way of dealing with people is trouble is nobody's home. But if they're your boys, and it's not so pashut, and we don't just write people off, there's something called home court advantage, which is when he calls you to get together, you invite him somewhere. Maybe even before, you call him before. Or if he calls you, you ask him to come to your house. You prepare about where there's a danger-free environment that you could be able to do this. You could be able to have all the sharim that you could possibly have as a ben Torah in a very safe way. But it requires decisions. What do I do and what don't I do? A lot of times in shiduchim, girls will say, this boy lacks substance. What does it mean he lacks substance? The girl says, so how do you feel about this? He goes, oh, I never thought about that. Like, what do you do about this? I don't know. I'll speak to my rabbi or something. You know, like, hello? That substance is somebody who knows what he does. So a person has to sit and decide, what did I gain this man and what decisions did I make of what I do and what I don't do? This is a very important thing to do now. It's too hard before. It's too hard right before a Nisayan. You have to be at a time when there's clarity. What do I do and what don't I do? Now that's a very scary thing to answer, because I still listen to maybe things that I shouldn't, or I still see things that I shouldn't. So now, how can Stark come and tell me that I should decide this? The answer will be that I still do these things, because I still feel like I'm not living in Yerushalayim all year round, and I feel like when I get home, I'm going to unwind in ways that maybe people will not be happy about. So here's the Eitzah for this. Don't decide that you don't do things. You don't watch certain things. You don't hear certain things. Decide what you do during Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim is a different phenomena. Somebody just before the Shmuz was discussing with me whether or not he wants to have an iPhone that's filtered or whether he wants to have a flip phone. I said, wait, 1 second. The way you're making this decision sounds like a life decision. Don't make a life decision during Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim is not for life decisions. Save it for when you're done with yeshiva and you're back home. You'll make your life decision. Do I have a filtered iPhone or do I go the whole nine yards with a flip phone? Right? Big decision. Bein Hazmanim is a separate decision. It's just push it like this. It's called between the Zmanim. There is point A, which is the Zman, and then there's point B, which is the next Zman. How do I get from here to here safely? Not am I so frum that I don't listen to these things or watch these things anymore. It doesn't matter. I'll decide that when I leave yeshiva. Right now, I want to make sure that I don't have to undo the damage of Bein Hazmanim for next month. It's pashut just keeping yourself in the fridge. And this helps with the Yetzer Hara. The reason is because the Yetzer Hara gets nervous, or he gets you nervous, if he says, you're going to be very religious. Ha, 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 ha. You're going to wear a strimal. And you're going to have a gartel. And all your old friends are going to laugh at you over Bein Hazmanim. No, they're not. You don't even tell them that you changed. You're just saying, you're in yeshiva right now. And this is just what you feel comfortable doing, Bein Hazmanim. It's just a simple Bein Hazmanim decision. I'm telling you, this is much more relaxing than deciding to live in Me'asharim. It's much more relaxing. You're just saying that I want to get safely from here. I enjoyed the winter. I would love that in the summer, I don't spend the first 3 weeks undoing what I did and crying about what I did to my Rabbeim. I want it to just go smooth. It's just an investment. It's a logical investment. We're doing the yeshiva thing right now. It's kedai to see it totally through. Totally through. It is not a life decision to do more heavy things in Bein Hazmanim. It's simply an investment in yeshiva. It's so frustrating for Bachrim what they do over Bein Hazmanim and how much time it takes them to undo it. So that's a major yesod, is to understand that there are Bein Hazmanim decisions. One major success issue, and people tell me this is, I've said that this is the make or break, and people who have done it have told me it's tested and proven. If you get up for a particular minyan every day, kimat, regardless of what you do the rest of the day, you're almost guaranteed success over Bein Hazmanim. There's a certain way of starting a day. It doesn't have to be a very early minyan, but it has to be, obviously, within Zman Kriyashma, within Halacha, but it has to be that you feel like I have a day. When people wake up at who knows what hour, aside from missing mitzvahs d'oraisa and mitzvahs d'rabbanan, but they feel the part of being a schlepper, and one day after another day add up, and they end up schlepping through Bein Hazmanim. A person should have a schedule. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as much the day. It matters how you start the day. That gives you a certain feeling of, I'm a mensch, I have a day, and it continues. During the day, a person should obviously be able to learn. Recommended times for learning are either before or after a minyan. Why? Because it's Jewish time. You are in a shul or a beis medrash. This is your big break. Once you leave this place, you don't know what's going to go on. It's kedai to make a chavrusa or something, or with yourself, in the time that's already in a place that's conducive to learning. So either before or after a shachris, before or after a mincha mariv, it's kedai. And find a chavrusa who it's annoying to call him to cancel. That guy who's more motivated than you, and it's uncomfortable. A lot of times people set up, yeah, we'll talk. I'll have a chavrusa, we'll talk. Nobody talks. It's like, before the, gittin. Yeah, I'm into gittin. Well, we'll do gittin. Yeah, like, oh, I lost your number, sorry. Right? Kimat all chavrusas in Bein Hazmanim never begin. Find a guy who actually learns more than you, and it will be hard for you to say no to him, and he'll be the type of person that you'll want to come for that chavrusa. Another thing is use technology to your advantage. A lot of times, right, you look in front of a Gemara, or at least me, in Bein Hazmanim. I don't know, I love Gemara during this month, but sometimes during Bein Hazmanim, I'm like, maybe I'll get a coffee, come back. And like, maybe I'll get a donut, come back. Right? It doesn't go. Now, there's a wonderful thing that we have today, which is MP3 players. Okay? We have hundreds of shiurim on these little things. Sometimes you feel you can't go through a Gemara. Let Rav David Grossman take you through the Gemara today. If it's not working today, don't just give up. It's amazing. You can sit there with a Coke. You can be flexible. I'm not telling you exactly how flexible to be, but be flexible with yourself. Let the shiur go and try to pay attention. And then you learned. This shiur will go on for a half hour, and if there are beats and they can block out all the outside noise, you're almost guaranteed that you're going to be there for the whole shiur. Hopefully awake. That's it. Okay? So use technology to your advantage. It's mamish unbelievable. You can have people shouting at you with these machines and motivating you and exciting. And let's use that to our advantage. Okay. Another point, which I'm not in the mood to get very upset about today. I'm just tired from Purim. My whole body's aching. I'm nervous that it's pushing dangerous for me. But this is a very important point that I always talk about, sometimes loud and today soft. The whole issue of watching movies on the plane, okay? So by me, this is a very sensitive issue. It's something that I feel like I'm carrying the banner for. There are two separate issues in life. It's whether a person watches movies, and then there's movies on the plane. And it's very simple why. A person who watches movies alone is entitled to watch movies. But a person who, I mean, he's entitled. It's a free country. He can do whatever he wants. But a person who watches things berabim is connecting with a possible chilul Hashem. And we see it, and it's bothered me like mad. There are certain times I can't sleep on a plane because I see people with giant prosopopeias. Not the little ones behind the ears. The poofy ones. The real poofy ones. Sitting there during shachris and pashit being zan eneim from arayis mamish. How do I know that every movie is Arias? Because you know that every time your head goes this way and by accident you see something, you're like, oosh, oosh, oosh. There's kimat Arias in every second of every movie on a plane. Or at least every time my head, chas v'shalom, moves for a second. Right? Rachmana litzlan. So a person has to realize, I saw this very guy looking at the badatz eda charedis on the orange juice in the plane. I wanted to tell you. I was almost going to get sued. Poof! Come on, badatz on your orange juice, buddy. Go for a Rabbanut Mahadran. And let's just cut a deal with the Chilul Hashem over here. What's going on? It's an olam hafach ra'isi. Olam hafach ra'isi. And it bothers a lot of the modern people too, and they talk about it. There are people who are Hasidim now who are watching movies on the plane, and it's painful. It's painful. Don't become a public display to people. This is the famous Taina, it's boring on the plane. It's boring on the plane. So this is my big chiddush that I came up with. Be bored. Be bored for 12 hours. It's better than a Chilul Hashem. Yeah, whisper to yourself. Count sheep, 100 bottles of beer on the wall, whatever you want to do, but please don't be machal of the name of Hashem as Hakar Satov for a great zman. Hashem, I want to show you. I'm going to publicly profane your name on the way home from yeshiva. Just be bored. I asked Rav David Abu Chatzera, Shlita. He told me that when his grandfather, the Baba Sali, was giving brachas to Klal Yisrael and davening for Yeshuas, he was mostly involved with upsherins, not sick people. But Rav David Abu Chatzera says he's involved mostly with sick people. And I had the chutzpah to ask Rav David, why? Why is it that things have changed? And he gave me an answer right away. It was pretty shocking. He said in the olden days, people did averas because they had taivas. In the times of the Baba Sali, when he was the one giving the brachas. He says, today, people do averas just because they're bored. Just because they're bored. Meaning it used to be arayas was an incredible urge within a person. Here today, it's like, whoa, what a drag on the plane, so let me be over on the gimel, chamuros. And that, he said, is extremely dangerous because in Shamayim, there's not such a justification. If a person's a raging bucker with incredible hormones, so those hormones themselves are a big schus in Shamayim because he couldn't control himself. He was fighting himself enormously. But if he just stom enters Gimel Chamuras out of boredom, there's no schus for such a person because it shows that's how little he cared about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's something to really think about. In a court of law, you can't plead boredom, right? You can plead insanity, but you can't plead boredom. So now I want to talk a little bit about filters. This is something we have not talked about yet. Just a little bit of a perspective over here, okay? What is the Yetzer Hara? What is the Yetzer Hara to not have a filter or not have a good filter, okay? And there's a very strong Yetzer Hara. And any thinking person has to really understand there's a very, very big Yetzer Hara over here. And it comes to a very basic point, which is how do you define freedom? Freedom, right? In Yiddish, we say that people who are not from, they're called frei. Free. They're called free. And nevertheless, we're also called free. Right? It says in Avos Perek Vav, right, in the Braisa, Ein ben choyrin elo mi she'osek b'Torah. Right? So we're talking about two sugyas of freedom over here. Two sugyas of freedom. So what's going on over here? Who's right? Are they free or are we free? To say that we're free, it's hard to understand. Why? Because it's so tight. There's so many rules and regulations. So what does it mean? The Chazal say, Ein ben chorin elo misha osek b'Torah. The person who's free is someone who's learning Torah. L'chura, it's with the Freya mentioned, the people who are not from, who can do whatever they want. You'll excuse me for saying this in a base medrash. They're much freer. They are much freer. So we have to really understand the Chazal. If I don't understand it at face value. They seem to be much more free. And fakert, when they have all the options in the world, right? The more the options, the more free you are. The lesser the options, the less free you are. So here we come to a very deep sugya, which is the following. There's one person who's not free in the world, right? One person. He's called an eved. He's called a servant. And the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Yud Gimel says something very interesting. That if you offer an eved to become free, if you offer him to become free, he could very well turn you down. Why? Because he wants to be free. What do you mean? Yeah, he'll turn down freedom to be totally free because he wants to be free. As the Gemara says, Avda behefkeira nichale. You see, when you're an Eved, when you're a servant, there's a different type of freedom. There's a freedom to have no real value system and to be able to do whatever you want in the schmutz. And that's a freedom. That's an amazing freedom. And then there's another type of freedom, which is to eject somebody from that reality and give them a real sense of purpose that they're bigger than something. When you're in the schmutz, you feel there's only one freedom, the hefkeris. The hefkeris is the freedom, because that's living. And if you take that away from me, it's not nichali. I will not choose to become a really free man. But if somebody were able to elevate themselves, to become really free, to ever experience it. Like I spoke to somebody who was working on Shmiras HaBris for a year. And from Shmiras Einayim. And he's dafka, I enjoy it because from the biggest chillers in yeshiva, it's not somebody who anyone would predict. I don't know even how much he spends time in the Beis Medrash. He told me the feeling of freedom that he has. The way he describes it, he goes, he wishes he could tell people what it's like to be so free. He wanted to do this to get ready for Shiduchim. He did it. He said, I wish I could tell people the freedom that I have. But it's a different type of freedom. It's a freedom of being a different type of being. Chazal say that an Eved is an Am Hadoma L'chamor. It's a behemoth. And behemoths can roam the wild. They can go wherever they want. They have no responsibilities. But they're stuck in the reality of being an animal. Ein ben choyrin el misha esi b'torah, says the Medrash Shmuel, written 500 years ago. The Medrash Shmuel says, what does it mean, ein ben choyrin el misha esi b'torah? He says, somebody who's not osi b'torah is stuck being an animal, and somebody who's osi b'torah has a chance to go into a higher existence. He's not trapped. He's not trapped. And in the schmutz, when someone's in the schmutz, they can't understand how life would be worth it without all these options. They don't understand, because over there, in the world of donkeys, in Am Hadoma L'chamor, it seems so restricting to have gedarim. But we know that gedarim makes somebody big, right? If something's in Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim is an olam of hefker, right? Hefker, if you find something in Rishus HaRabim. The halacha is, and this is based on the Mekubalim, the Arizal's Meramis is such a thing. There's a halacha in a Rishus HaRabim. You know how high the Rishus HaRabim goes? Just 10 tvachim high. It's very limited. Why? In Hefkeris, you're very limited. You're stuck down here in Olam Hazeh. In a Rishus HaYachid, if you put walls around yourself, the Rishus HaYachid is Ola Ad L'Rakia. When you make boundaries, you're able to go higher. When you're a free Eved, you can roam the streets. You can roam street corners. You're free to crawl around the creepy crawling places of the world, but you can never go up. You're never free to rise. You're always free to go horizontally, but you can't go vertically up. Gedarim, when a person sets a geder and they hold down those options, they feel less like a donkey. They feel more like a human being. They feel like they're in control, that their mind is controlling their life. And they feel above. They feel above. And sometimes when you're somehow walking the fence, you have to sort of jump. My favorite example of this was we were once at a pool. And my daughter, you know how everybody, I remember when I was a kid, I guess I still do it now, right? You check the water like a million times. Hooch, hoochie, right? And I saw my daughter, this was taking too long. Like, you know, we only had an hour and a half in this pool. I don't, toop. But she said, Abba, push me. She told me before. I didn't do it until she told me. I was so nene. Why'd she say push me? She could jump. She could jump in. There's a lot of chachma to that. No, sometimes you're not willing to jump in, but you need a push. So you say, Abba, push me. And then you're in the pool. Over here, the world is literally a sewage pit. It stinks. The whole world today. The things that when I was younger, you know how few people saw pornographic material? So few. I'm telling you, I was around, not yeshiva bachrim, I'm saying even among the goyim, it was considered unethical. It was something people were embarrassed of. Today, the vast majority of people who have a pulse have seen pornography. Why? It's so sad. Because it was available. There's only one reason. Not because they're bad people. They're tzaddikim. And fakert, they saw these things when they were so little that they didn't even know what they were seeing, b'chlal. And it's really psychologically damaging. Right? I once heard from a famous psychologist that when a kid does a book report and he types in the White House, just to do his book report, already the average 10-year-old is exposed to pornography just by trying to do a book report. And this has changed everything. It's made the whole world the starting point to be donkeys. And it's so foreign to get out of it. But the people who are out of it are so free. They're so happy. They really are. They're so free. They're so happy. They enjoy life in a totally different way. And the Maharal says something beautiful based on the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that when the Avadim get free from Yovel, they put on ataras, crowns. For the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, when they're free, there's like a 10-day period that they're in limbo. And they put on crowns. And says the Maharal in Derech Chaim, in his Perish on Avos, Gimel Tesayim, he says, why do they put on crowns? He says, because a crown is always above. It shows that they finally made it up. They finally climbed out. When you, not just vertically, you know, horizontally roaming the world and finding every disgusting thing, but they're finally free people. They're a different Bria. They have a Kesser. They have a crown that goes above their head and just continues upwards, 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 ad l'rakia. And the truth is that people who don't ever get out of this will never get out of it. There's never a day that it will be easy to get out of this. Why? Because every day is new. And there are new options. There's new explorations. There's new exciting things to see. And I'll do it tomorrow. And that's how it just continues. And I heard once from Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. He said this under his breath. And I'm so happy I heard him. I don't know how many people heard him say this. But I'm so happy about this. And I want to be mefarsimet. He said, it says, Anu ratzim vehem ratzim. Right? We run and they run. Anu ratzim l'chayo l'mhaba vehem ratzim l've'er shachas. And they go to the well of nothingness, of destruction, right? The wellspring of destruction. So Rav Moshe Shapiro, he was discussing a Vilna Gaon that was talking about a Be'er Shachas. He said, there's a steer over here. A spring or a well is always new flowing water. Mayim Chayim is life. How do you have a well of destruction? It's a contradiction in terms. If it's a well, it can't be destruction. There's no such thing as a well of destruction. And Rav Moshe said this kemat under his breath. He said, if you want to know what's a well of destruction, he says, today we have a simple mashal, the internet. It never stops. You will never be bored. You will never stop being free to see more and more and more. You will be able to stay totally horizontal your whole life, and never be able to stop the whole thing. Anu ratzim, this is my addition to Rav Moshe now. Anu ratzim, l'chay olam haba. We run also. We're moving. We feel free. But we're ratzim up, l'chay olam haba. Heim ratzim lever shachas. They're running and running into absolute nothingness. Absolute nothingness. And this is the only time that someone will be able to free themselves of this yetzer hara, is to jump in, is to get the push. The yeshiva is pushing it, and we have to let ourselves fall into the pool, so to speak. We have to let ourselves accept this. And when a person does this, I'm guaranteeing you, I've never seen somebody regret taking control in these areas. It's never happened. I've never seen it, because it's a elevated existence. And always the same response, as people would say, if I could only tell people what it's like on the other side, to be away from these things. And I heard, I'll leave you with this one thought, beautiful thought, that I heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. He said this in Slobodka, in the actual yeshiva in Slobodka in Europe. He said the following. He said that the altar was medayik. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Suga b'shoshanim. It's like a fence made out of roses. And Chazal darshan that when people stay away from Averas, they don't go past the rose fence, the Sug B'Shoshana. They don't go over the rose fence. And there's a beautiful drasha, we've done it in different contexts here, that somebody wants to eat something not kosher, the Sug B'Shoshana, the fence of roses keeps him away. Frek the altar, and I don't know if this is written somewhere, maybe it is, but I haven't seen it. Frek the altar. What is a rose fence, right? If you want to make a fence, make an iron fence, right? Make a tall fence, solid. What does it mean to have a rose fence? So he said that the attitude is the following. When a person sees a fence of roses, he's not saying it's wrong to cross over this fence. He says, how could I step on roses? They're so beautiful. It's not kedai. Look at the beauty of everything that's going around here. Nobody steps on roses. You step over a rose fence, you're trampling over roses. They fall apart. He says, we have to stop asking ourselves if things are mutter and usser. But we have to ask ourselves if we want to be beautiful, if we want to be attached to beauty. Today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it that the Ben Torah shines. The entire world, including the Krakshtins, who were very religious, they're losing a lot of their religion. Even the high-ups are changing their value systems. If you read up on these things, everybody's values are changing. The only values that are not changing are the values of the Ben Torah. And Hashem wants this. Hashem wants that the only survivors who are the Tachshitim, who are the roses of the Bria, will be the Bnei Torah. That it will be obvious to the world that we are the Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And we should all be zeicha to take this responsibility. Take this responsibility for ourselves. Take this responsibility for our future wives. Take this responsibility for our children and grandchildren. Ad bios gol sedech. Habal le tara mesayinusa. We should all be zeicha to this Ruach Tara.